Well, now to those extraordinary events in Lebanon yesterday. At least 9 people, including a child, have been killed and thousands more, up to 3,000 people were injured. When handheld pagers, which were used by members of the militant group Hezbollah, exploded across the country yesterday afternoon. Hospitals were inundated with the wounded, health authorities saying at least 2,800 people injured, 200 of them in a critical condition. Hezbollah has blamed Israel for what it called sinful aggression, saying the country would get its fair punishment. Let's get a sense of how this might have happened. We're joined by Greg Karlstrom, Middle East correspondent with The Economist. Greg, thanks for taking our call. This really was extraordinary. They were handheld pagers, so communication devices which Hezbollah members were using.
Right. And earlier this year, back in February, the leader of Hezbollah gave a speech in which he urged members of the group to throw away their mobile phones. He said phones could be hacked by Israel. They could be used for surveillance and to target assassinations. And so he urged everyone, instead of talking on the phone, to switch to this low-tech alternative of communicating through pagers. There was a large shipment of pagers that Hezbollah ordered and distributed to its rank-and-file fighters. And the belief was that these devices were almost too low-tech to penetrate. That obviously turned out to be a mistaken assumption.
And the scale of the injuries is vast, mostly around the waist and upper bodies. Some people have been blinded, according to the health ministry there. Many are in a critical condition. The shipment of pagers, do we know at this stage where they came from?
The pagers are a Taiwanese brand. The brand is called Gold Apollo. It's a Taiwanese company that designed these pagers. But that company has come out this morning and said the devices were not actually manufactured in Taiwan. The company says several other firms around the world have a license to manufacture its products, and one of those companies actually produced these pagers. There's also been some reporting just in the past hour that it may have been a factory headquartered in Budapest, in Hungary, that produced the devices. The consensus is that they were made somewhere in Europe, not in Asia.
Israel is not commenting one way or the other. They never do. Is it hard to imagine anyone other than Israel and its intelligence services, Mossad, as being involved in this?
It is. You really can't imagine anyone else would have both the motive and the capability to do this. The Israeli security services, of course, have a long history of targeted assassinations. Some of those have involved tampering with devices. There was the case in 1996 of Yahya Ayash, who was the chief bomb maker for Hamas. He was killed with an explosive charge hidden inside of a mobile phone by Israeli spies. There was the case in 2008 of Ayman Mughniyeh, who was a top military commander for Hezbollah. He was killed with a bomb hidden inside of his SUV in Damascus. So there is a history of this sort of sabotage before. This is just obviously an entirely different order of magnitude, sabotaging not one phone or one car, but perhaps up to 5,000 pagers.
5,000 simultaneously as well. So this could not have been done remotely in the sense of explosives being placed in the pagers. Would that have to have been done in the production process?
I think so. And people that I've spoken to have made that argument. If you wanted to sabotage one device or a few devices, you could do that while they were in transit. You could intercept the shipment somewhere and you could very quickly sabotage a small number of devices. But to put explosives and detonators inside of up to 5,000 pagers, that's obviously a very time-consuming, labor-intensive process. And so that probably had to be done quite early in the production process, quite early in the supply chain at the factory where these devices were manufactured.
So, I mean, what is the likely reaction of Hezbollah now to this? Because did many of their members were obviously injured, some have died?
Yes, the group has just in the past hour confirmed the deaths of 10 of its fighters in the pager explosions, and an unknown number, but probably in the thousands, who were wounded. As you say, people lost eyes, lost fingers, lost limbs in these explosions. I think the initial reaction is just going to be shock at both the scale of this attack and obviously how deeply Hezbollah has been penetrated by Israeli intelligence. And so I think there's going to be an initial period of trying to figure out what to do next, trying to figure out how badly this compromises their ability to continue fighting. Their communications network has been disrupted now. That will have consequences for its ability to keep fighting. I think in the long run, there will be a desire to retaliate somehow on the part of Hezbollah, but I think it's going to take them some time to figure out how to do that and to recover from what is a very serious blow.
And what impact at this stage, Greg, might it be said to have on the wider war in Gaza and the Middle East?
I think it's a bit early to say. Everyone is going to be quite tense for the next couple of days. The question many people were asking last night after these explosions was not just how Israel did this, but why Israel chose to do this at this particular moment. Was it a prelude to an invasion of Lebanon or to some sort of bigger military offensive in Lebanon? We haven't seen any evidence of that happening yet, but this does seem like the kind of thing that you would do before a possible incursion. There are other theories as well. Perhaps Israel worried that Hezbollah was about to discover the explosives hidden inside of these pagers and decided to blow them up before that was discovered, and they lost this capability. We're not sure why they chose to do it at this particular moment, but there is a real concern that either Israel will choose to look at Hezbollah now reeling and will choose to do something bigger in Lebanon, or that Hezbollah at some point will respond in quite a big way.
Greg, thank you very much. Greg Carlstrom, Middle East correspondent with The Economist at 7:47.